Well, hello, Church. So it's a real privilege for me to speak as part of this series on crazy faith and this idea that crazy times require crazy faith. So you guys have been looking at Hebrews 11, and Pastor Ian gave me a really interesting character. He gave me the character of Enoch. Now, if you've ever looked at the story of Enoch, there's nothing in Enoch's story that is not kind of bizarre. Let me just read the two weird facts about Enoch to you, first of all. And then later on, we're going to talk about what crazy faith really is and how it's different from faith that's just crazy. So let me read these two passages to you, first of all. Hebrews 11, verse 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken up so he did not see death, and he was not to be found because God took him up. For before his removal, he had been commended as having pleased God." In other words, he pleased God so much because of his faith that he actually didn't taste death. God just took him, which is a strange thing to think about and to believe. What would that actually look like? But that's just one of the crazy facts. The second crazy fact is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. "When Enoch was 65 years old, he had Methuselah. Enoch walked steadily with God. After he had Methuselah, he lived another 300 years, having more sons and daughters. Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Wow. Now, I don't know for you if that's hard to believe or easy to believe. For me, that's not hard to believe, simply because if I can believe in creation, if I can believe in a heaven and a hell, if I can believe in a God who can do miracles, I can believe in this. But there is a difference, I think, between crazy faith, the kind of faith that's very special, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, and faith that's just crazy. Sometimes I meet Christians and they share their faith with me, and I'll be honest with you, I just think, "You're just bonkers." And they might say to me, "Yeah, I'm bonkers for Jesus." And I think, no, you're just bonkers. There's just a craziness sometimes about the things that we believe. So what's the difference between crazy faith that we need in these times and the kind of faith that's simply crazy? So in this passage, there's something here that's interesting, which is that there are two strange facts. And some people, most people would see them as literal. So Enoch literally lived for 365 years and just disappeared and went to be with God. And most Christian tradition would agree with that. There are some people who believe it's more figurative, that we have to understand there are a quarter of a million words in the English language right now and constantly growing. COVID-19 has probably just been added to it. Whereas in biblical Hebrew from the Old Testament, there's no more, I think, than about 8,000 different Hebrew words. So those words have to do a lot of work, each of those words. They have multiple purposes. So when you read Hebrew, there's no FYIs. Everything means something. It's either literal or there's a figurative meaning or both. And I want to draw out some of the figurative stuff of that idea of he was not because God had taken him. He was not because God had taken him. God took him. And what I noticed was another part of Hebrews that helped me connect this. And I want to bring a principle out of this for us today and then some practical points of view. So Hebrews 11 says this: "Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from our lives of faith." So this is more than a history lesson. There's a connection between their faith that we're supposed to carry on with. Their crazy faith isn't just for those days. It's something we've got to carry on with. And when I read that phrase, I've got to be honest, when I first saw that phrase, "he was not because God took him," it was the figurative sense, as a metaphor, if you like, that really hit home to me, because it reminded me of Abraham. Now, in the story of Abraham, who's also listed amongst these heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, it says his His real name was Abraham, that got changed to Abraham. In other words, on the journey, God took an initial from his name, Yahweh, and added it to Abraham to create Abraham. Now, what that means is that along the journey, God was going to make Abraham more like God. Specifically, that God's dream would become Abraham's dream. Now, we have to understand that that is the path that we're all on. You know, sometimes we think vision is about going to a place when actually it's about going towards a purpose, where it's not so much that we need a lot of faith, we need the kind of faith that God has. Because faith does not come from hoping, faith comes from hearing. And the kind of faith that's just crazy is where we just hope for something and then really try hard to believe for it. But what's the point of having a huge amount of faith for the wrong plan? Better to have a mustard seed of faith for God's plan. So God wants to transform us. And Romans says God wants to transform our mind. And as our mind changes, as our mind becomes more like his, then we'll only need a small amount of faith to move mountains, because we'll be able to test and approve what his will actually is. So as I'm reading from this, I'm thinking about the fact that Christianity is not simply about having faith in Jesus. It's also about having faith in the things that Jesus had faith in as well. And yeah, there's no point in having huge faith for the wrong plan. So what does crazy faith look like? Well, I thought Ian said it really well at the beginning of this series. Let's just read what he said. I've changed it slightly, but this is basically what he said. What today may be seen as crazy action will tomorrow be seen as crazy faith. What today may be seen as crazy action will tomorrow be seen as crazy faith. So I think the principle we need to understand is this. We don't need a huge amount of faith. It's not the size of our faith that's important. It's the assimilation of our faith. In these crazy times we're going through, is your faith in the things that God has faith in? Is your dream the same dream as God's? And are we making a difference? Let me read something from Hebrews 11 that really excites me. I'm going to read from the Message, because I think it really captures better than any other translation what Hebrews is really trying to say. This is what it says. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are all in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in, and with God, he could put up with anything along the road. It is my belief that as we come out of this COVID lockdown, as churches get back together on the Sunday services, that we learn the lesson here. And the lesson that we need to learn, amongst many others, is that church is at its best when it's pioneering. As far as advancing the kingdom of God, the Christian version of wherever the world is doing won't cut it. Church has always been best. Christianity has always been more powerful when it's pioneering new ideas and new methods, when it's pioneering hospitals and schools, where it's looking after people in new ways that the church has never thought about. When we're pioneers, it makes a difference. Who was the first man on the moon? It was Neil Armstrong. And we all remember what he said, you know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But who was the second person on the moon? Well, most will know it's Buzz. But can you remember what he said? No, you can't remember what he said, because why would you? He wasn't the first. It's the pioneers who shape the future. So how do we know if we're pioneers? How do you know if your faith is the crazy kind of faith that does something so special, that does something today that will be seen as a crazy action, but in the future will be seen as crazy, amazing faith? how can we be those pioneers? I think sometimes we as the church think we are pioneers, but I'm going to suggest three signs of whether you're a pioneer or not. Three signs of whether your faith is just crazy or whether you have crazy faith, faith that's really going to make a difference. So I'm going to go through these three signs, and maybe you can do a little bit of a checklist of what you're doing as a church, what you're doing as an individual in your community, in your business, in your office, in your school. So what are the three signs of pioneering? Well, number one, you're a pioneer if you create a path for others that previously never existed. Jesus was the great pioneer. He said, I am the way, truth, and life. Enoch, amongst that great list, were pioneers. He showed us a way to please God. And the way we please God is by faith. But a pioneer, someone with crazy faith in these times as we exit lockdown, as we come into this brand new world, the people who are going to shape the future, the people who are going to shape communities are going to be the pioneers. And what does a pioneer look like? Well, a pioneer is like one of those soldiers who sees a lot of barbed wire. And so to create a path for everybody else, he runs and he jumps on the barbed wire that everybody else can run across him. And then he has to pick himself up and take the barbs out of his chest and maybe out of his face and maybe out of his legs. And if you're a pioneer, if you have crazy faith, there are going to be a lot of barbs in the way. It's going to be a painful process. You're going to have to create a new path for people. And when we create a new path for people, there's a lot of criticism. There's lots of misunderstanding of what we're trying to do. But as we keep doing it, as we pick out those barbs, God will transform us into his likeness. His dream more and more will become our dream. If you're not creating the path that didn't exist before, you're not a pioneer. You're simply doing the Christian version of what everybody else is doing. And many of us, even as church leaders, we spend so much of our time looking at other churches, trying to learn from them, and we just copy what they're doing. But I think God is looking for leaders. God is looking for congregation members. God is looking for office workers and students who will just look to Jesus and say, well, forget what the other Christians are doing for a minute. Let me just spend a little bit of time and say to God, what do you want me to do? Is there something you're going to put on my heart that may seem a little bit like a crazy action now, but tomorrow will be seen as crazy faith? So you're a pioneer, number one, if you're creating a path for others that has not previously existed. Number two, you're a pioneer if what you do becomes a verb. So during lockdown, I've been with the Foxy Lynn, my wife, and it's just been the two of us. My youngest son is in Germany. My eldest son is about 5 miles away. We can't see him because they're pregnant again, and they've got to be really careful. So it's just me and Lynn. And so I wanted to do something really romantic. I wanted to buy her something that'd be really romantic, that would just really bless her and show her the love I have for her. So I got a posh Dyson vacuum. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's not very romantic, Paul, and fair enough, it's probably not, but it was the thing that she wanted during lockdown, so that's what I got her. Now, the reason I mention this is because now when she's cleaning, when she's vacuuming, she doesn't say, oh, I'm going to vacuum. She doesn't say, I'm going to use the Dyson. She says, I'm going to Hoover. And if you're from my generation, I'm going to guess that's what you say as well. Oh, I'm going to do a bit of Hoovering. Well, Hoovering is a brand. It's just that Hoover, the brand, were pioneers and so much cornered the market that what they were became a verb. Now, you're familiar with this because Christianity cornered the market on certain types of kindness and certain types of behavior. You know this because sometimes, even if you're a Christian and you've done something that was unkind or maybe said something that wasn't right, what was said to you? What was said to you is this. Well, that's not very Christian, is it? Because Christianity, character, Christian character has become a verb. The first time I went to Africa to visit the First Pays team in Africa, when I arrived, I got there, it was in Ghana, And I was asked if I could hold back on the first piece of teaching because there were some guys traveling from Togo, which was a neighboring country, and they wanted to hear what I had to say. So they traveled through the jungle apparently during the night, and the next morning we started. But before we started, they wanted to tell me how great Pays was going in Togo. And they were telling me all these amazing stories. And then they pulled out this great big picture. It was a wonderful picture. It had about 100 young people and the leaders and a big banner with the Pays logo, said Pays Togo. And I was really enjoying it. We were chatting about it. It was wonderful. And then something occurred to me. And what occurred to me was this. We don't have Pays in Togo. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, we don't have Pays in Togo. What is this? What I found out was that about a year previously, our team had been to Togo, and what they'd done was so new and so different. The kind of youth ministry they were doing, the way they were doing discipleship was so different. The way they were doing Bible study and evangelism was so different. The pastor had a vision to, as he called it, photocopy what this team did. But there was no name for it. And so they called it Pays because Pays had become a verb. Now, one of the challenges with that is I have to let go of control because there was something happening with my name, if you like, on it in a country and I had no control over it at all. But if I want to be transformed into his likeness, I have to be okay with that. It's not about my reputation. It's not about my status. It's about his kingdom. And crazy faith, if it's real crazy faith, the one of the ways you're going to know that is, yes, what you do becomes a verb, but also you're going to find that it becomes out of your control. It benefits the kingdom more than it benefits you. I think the things that are just faith that's crazy are when we hope rather than hear from God, and we hope for things that we want, and then we have enough faith for those things. But when God puts something on your heart, quite often, other people are going to benefit far more than you. Okay, number three, what's the third sign you're a pioneer? You have this crazy faith. You're a pioneer if what you do causes others to create new rules. So if you are pioneering, one of the ways you'll know if you're really pioneering rather than just doing the Christian version of someone else is because new rules will have to be created to contain what you do, or at least to channel what you do. We see that in science. You know, scientists are pioneers and they create things, and then governments have to scramble to work out, well, now this new technology exists. Now we can clone animals and potentially clone people. What do we do about that? What should be the rules about that? A while back, one of our teams went into a school in Texas. Now, when people come on Pays, they have to have a police check, and we don't allow them to go into schools, and the schools won't allow them unless they have a police check. And there was a team of four, and one of the members of the team had applied late, so their police check had not come through as yet. But they really wanted them to be in the class. So what they did was the team of three went in, but they took a laptop and they Skyped in the fourth member of the team. And I think the staff weren't worried about it, but they were just trying to work out, is that okay? You know, what are the laws on that? It was a great bit of creativity. They were pioneering. This is, you know, now we're used to Zoom, aren't we? But this is many, many years ago when Zoom had just been created. And I just love the idea of creativity where people have to catch up with rules. And I would say to you, if you're truly pioneering, new rules will have to be created to either channel and help you or to contain and control you. You know, the Pharisees were always coming up with rules in order to control things. And when Jesus said the things he said, you could see them scrambling. You know, in my life, I've been in America now for 15 years. And in that time, I've managed to get myself banned in two churches. One church banned me from going in their building, and another church banned me from speaking. And, you know, in some ways I'm like, oh, that's a really terrible thing. That's, you know, what's gone wrong. But then the more I think about it, the more I think I'm in good company. You know, so many of God's heroes, and I'm not a hero, but so many of God's heroes were banned. And I want to finish with just an excerpt from John Wesley, who's one of my heroes. And this is from his diary. I just want you to listen to this and think how you feel and at what point might you have given up. Let me read this to you. Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday evening, May the 5th, preached in St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. I know what that feels like. Sunday morning, May the 12th, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's church, deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday evening, May 19th, preached on street, kicked out of street or kicked off street. Sunday morning, May the 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow as bull was turned loose during the service. Sunday morning, June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday evening, that evening, June the 2nd, Wesley writes, preached in the pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. He never gave up. He had a crazy kind of faith. He wasn't just hoping for something and believing for it. He wasn't just a faith that was crazy. No, he'd heard God. He was doing some of the things that the church hadn't been doing up to that point. He was doing things that were revolutionary, that leaders couldn't even cope with. He was doing something really, really special. Crazy actions that were later seen as crazy faith. He was probably seen as a maverick at the time, but now he's seen as a modern-day Christian hero. So let me leave you with one last thought. And my last thought is this. Don't give up because you think things are going wrong when actually they're going right. Don't give up when things appear to be going wrong because actually that might be just part of the process of pioneering. Some of the things that have happened to me in my life have made me want to give up. But then when I look at what Jesus did, when I concentrate on what he did, I realize that some things that happened to him are happening to me. They're not just going wrong. It's part of the process. And I know in your church, there's a leadership there who are hoping and believing for a congregation that will rise up in their office, a congregation that will rise up in their workplaces, in their schools. But we know that just doing the Christian version of what everybody else is doing will probably not advance the kingdom very much. But if you focus, if you listen to God and get his direction, then he may give you some crazy actions that will later on be seen as crazy faith. Bless you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope as you persevere that you will see your transformation, where your mind is renewed and you're able to test and approve what God is saying, and faith will rise up in you that changes your community. I'm not like lockdown. You probably not liked it very much at all. But my hope and my prayer is that when the church comes out of this, we realize that when Sunday was taken away from us, for some churches, there was not a lot left. The best we could do was say, hey, watch us on podcast. My hope is that we will again return to that day where we as the church empower the saints for works of service, where the Holy Spirit poured out his spirit, visions, dreams on the congregation, and we as leaders empower you to change your world. Thanks very much for listening. I hope this has been of some help.